This is Felton.
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
This is Felton Wooten, and this is a 12-part series, and this is actually part two. And we're discussing the challenges of taking care of family members that are aging or in declining health. My career has spanned over 30-plus years, and I've seen people who were just in a crisis when their family members suddenly became ill, or even when they had extended illnesses, and then they had the challenge of figuring out how they were going to take care of them and how they were going to manage their household. Every day there are over 8,000 people turning 65 every day. So the challenge is, how are we going to age gracefully? And I'm fortunate tonight to have Terry Kroom on the line with me. And Terry, are you with me?
I am here.
Great, great. Terry has had an interesting journey, and he can share a perspective of trying to manage his life, the changes in his life, how it impacts him financially, spiritually, intellectually, taking care of a loved one. But before we get started, Terry, would you tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself? Did you come from a large family, a small family? Where are you living now? Where were you living before your mother got sick?
Well, hi everyone. First of all, I appreciate the opportunity to be on your program, Felton. And what I'd like to say is, I grew up in New York City, and had an opportunity to go to some art schools up there and get involved with publishing and advertising. And I moved to North Carolina back in mid-80s. And it was funny because my mom moved down a couple of years later. And so in continuing to work and live my life, you know, mom became, you know, got older and older. And she had a stroke. The stroke had not totally incapacitated her, but she was having some challenges getting around, that sort of thing. So my work took me to another part of the state. And, you know, I just sort of had it in my mind that, you know, it might be a good idea for my mom to come and move closer to me. And actually that turned out to be a fortuitous decision because, you know, after she moved closer, she really got ill again and wasn't able to take care of herself. She moved in with myself and my wife at the time. And, you know, at that point, we realized we had to make some decisions. And I think other people are faced with the same kind of situation where you may have an elderly parent or a loved one that you're caring for, and you know, you sort of want to be there for them. You know, they were there for you. You owe them, you know, quite frankly. And, you know, so you want to take care of them as best as possible. But at the same time, you have to make some really hard decisions sometimes, perhaps not wanting to put them in a facility, or, you know, concerned about how they're going to feel if they're placed in a facility. But after living with us for 3 years, it became evident that my mom was going to need 24-hour care. And, you know, regardless of how we felt about it, you know, we really didn't have the knowledge or ability to take care of her, you know, in a 24-hour care manner. So after having a surgery, we decided that we would place mom in a nursing home. And I can tell you how that went. You know, that was a real challenge in and of itself. But my background basically is, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, have been most of my life. But since 1992, I've been working for myself, and that's a little bit different than most people, because by sort of designing my life so that I could have my time available to me, it sort of made it easier for me to deal with the nursing home demands and some of the things that some of the needs that my mom had at the time.
So Terry, with all of that transpiring, mm-hmm. what changes did you have to make overall in your life? Because you're an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you had your own life with your wife.
Right. And my wife had three kids at the time. And I had a daughter from a previous marriage. So every other weekend, you know, I had a visitor coming. And, you know, there were a lot of dynamics that, you know, I had to navigate, you know, regarding that. And then my mom was living with us. So mm-hmm. what happens is you juggle. You learn to, you know, you become pretty good at juggling and really paying attention to, you know, the necessities of others, you know. And I think that when my mom had that last operation, it was sort of a wake-up call in that, you know, we realized that, you know, there's some things that you can do and there's some things that you can't do. And even though you may have the best of intentions, if you don't have the skills or the ability, or even if you don't have the capability, meaning if you don't have the time to put in, you know, to that loved one, then, you know, very often, you know, the great, the best of intentions, you know, may go astray because you're not able to really provide what you need to provide for that person. You know, you may be better off placing the person in a facility and then spending a lot more of other time that you can find to you know, to care for that person's needs. Because I had the same concern. You know, it was like, oh, you know, I'd heard about nursing homes and, you know, I was concerned about, you know, treatment and, you know, mistreatment and, you know, improper care. And, you know, you always hear about how lonely people are in nursing homes, you know. But I realized that the key to good nursing home care is vigilance, you know, showing up often, you know, in a sense being unpredictable when you show up, you know. And, you know, after investigating numerous facilities, you know, I was able to choose one that was only about 15 minutes from my home. So it was a little different for me. You know, the changes that I had to make were basically time juggling changes. You know, I mean, there are times my mom didn't like the food at the nursing home, but, you know, I like to cook. So I would cook a meal from time to time. When you talk about changes, you know, a lot of times you think about, you know, at the risk of sounding, you know, I hate to say, just not being politically correct, you know, very often you think in terms of the daughter in the family being the one to take care of the elderly mother, you know, but mm-hmm. my sister, I had a sister, by the way, but she was still living in New York City. So, mm-hmm. you know, so it fell on me, and I just sort of had to step up. And, you know, so, you know, I tell people, yeah, I braided hair, and, I massaged legs, and I, you know, and I cooked meals, and, you know, and every once in a while I'd pick my mom up, you know, wheelchair and all, put her in the car and take her over to the mall and get her hopped up on Starbucks coffee. You know, I mean, we just had a good time. Right? But, you know, because I wanted her to know that she hadn't been abandoned. That was the case. Right.
So there were often times I would come to the facility twice a day because I could. You know, I had designed a life that allowed me to have that freedom. So those were some of the changes. But, you know, you work those things out.
Right. And, Terry, I can remember once you shared something with me, and when you talk about changes, it's a role reversal in that you become almost a parent. And you had shared at one time, because it is so important
for anyone to feel needed. And as a mother, mothers are always giving, but there were times when you had to, you said you would ask your mother for advice on different scenarios in your life just so that she would feel needed. And do you remember the story you told me?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my mom had been diagnosed with dementia, and you know, in particular, Alzheimer's. Now, it wasn't severe, but you know, it, you know, there were times when you know she'd become forgetful, and I always felt, you know, I have a firm belief that if you don't use it, you lose it, you know, and so when you're in a nursing home situation, every day is basically the same. You know, it really doesn't require the patient to, you know, to really to put any effort into it. It's an existence, you know, and so you've got people doing things for you, and it's, everything is routine. So one of the things that I always notice about people with Alzheimer's is that they can't remember what happened 15 minutes ago, or they may not be able to remember what happened yesterday. What it took to storm the beaches of Normandy back in 1945, and how many guys got you. I mean, you can get all of these stories out of them about when they were younger. And it hit me that, you know, it's because that's when life was relevant. If you're going to maintain your memory, then you're going to maintain that portion of your memory that means something to you. Well, that wasn't yesterday. It wasn't last week. You know, I mean, it was the same food, and the same nurse came in, and the same, you know, sponge bath. It's the same routine. So, and also, you don't really participate in that. You're just sort of like there. Okay.
Right.
So,
right.
You tend to remember what's important. And one of the things that was important to my mom was my sister and I. Right. Some people call that getting in your business. But, you know, the thing about it is that's what parents do. And so I said, well, you know what I'm going to do? Is I'm going to create some scenarios for mom. You know, so when we talk, it's not how's the weather, and you know, it's going to be something meaningful and something where I'm going to need her help, because when people are needed, you know, they like, you know, they just so that they show up, just like I had to show up for my, so you know, so what happened was I sort of created a scenario. I said, hey mom, you know, I was thinking about dating this girl, and she's a nice person and the whole deal, and, you know, I gave her a few, you know, facts. And I said, I'm going to need your help with this, Mom. I'm not quite sure whether I should date her or whether I should, you know, back off or whatever. And it was basically a straw man I had created, you know, but it gave Mom, you know, something meaningful to latch on to. So you'd be surprised how all of a sudden they snap to it. And, you know, they've got a reason to. They got something to protect. They've got an investment now, you know. So yeah, and people may want to try that from time to time, you know, on that parent or that loved one who's you know not there all the time, you know, give them some work to do.
That's right.
Make their brains work, and you know, you'll be surprised what you get out of them.
Yeah, and you've made a valid point, Terry, because with the changes in a person's life, the changes for you, the changes for her, like for our listening audience, you got to come up with ways to make the visits meaningful, relevant, and making that person that you love feel needed. So this moves into the next question. With all those changes, who were the people instrumental in your life? Because you then moved in another realm of existence by being the caregiver, the son, and almost a pseudo parent.
Right. And to be honest, it's funny because, as I mentioned before, I was married to a woman who had three children already. And my daughter was coming to visit on the weekend. Now, both my wife and I at the time were entrepreneurs. So we had a lot. And now all of a sudden, here's mom. I got to deal with mom as well, right? So, you know, I kind of got lucky, full disclosure, folks, I kind of got lucky because when I was searching for a nursing home, that's when I ran into our host, Felton. And it was funny. I think the first time that you contacted me, you know, I placed her in the nursing home in which you were the administrator. You called me up and told me, and don't get upset about this, folks out there, because this is going to happen. I didn't know it myself. Said my mom and another patient were engaged in some fisticuffs, right? And you know, I needed to come down and, you know, just sort of, you know, calm the situation down, you know. And this happens. I mean, I was surprised to hear that that's not an unusual situation. People are placed in this place that they don't want to be, okay? Because most people who go to a nursing home, you know, are not happy about it. And you're giving up a lot. You know, you're giving up your independence. You're giving up, you know, very often you're sharing a room with someone. I mean, there's a lot going on, and you really don't know what the outcome is going to be, particularly as it relates to family visitation, because people have a tendency to lose their loved ones in a home, and, you know, in some cases, it may not even be their fault that they can't visit that much. I mean, there was a time when my mother was up in New York, and my sister, who, you know, worked and had a child, she just couldn't get to the nursing home because of the proximity of where she lived versus where my mom was staying. Now,
right.
You know, when my mom came back here, you know, I made sure she was close by. I could drive 15 minutes, be there. You know, I could do so many more things for her. So anyway, but you know, in the beginning, nobody knows exactly what the situation was. So in a way, you were very instrumental in my life, just calming me down, getting, you know, just giving me an understanding of what the dynamics are of nursing home life. And my mom made it up. You know, once she knew that I was going to be there and I was going to be supportive, and it's funny because all of the roommates that she ever had when she was in nursing home facilities, and this went on for about 8 years, you know, that my mom was in and out of different facilities. So, so you learn a lot, you know, you learn a lot about medications and you learn a lot about, you know, rights and those kinds of things, and we can talk about that later. But you were huge, you know, in terms of helping me to navigate, you know, some of the moguls of nursing home care.
Right. And Terry, what would you say to some of our listening audience about, like, identifying people who can be instrumental in their life? And also, I'm just going to make a comment, it's important that you not prejudge about family members. Like, you had a sister who was away and couldn't make it as often, and then sometimes people will create stories, and then it creates strife. But what would you say, because I know you've probably run into people and friends who are experiencing aging parents, what would you suggest to them about seeking and identifying the people who could be instrumental in their life?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's true. You know, it's a family affair, you know, when you're trying to make decisions about a loved one. And what I would do is I would contact my sister whenever there was an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
And we would discuss the plan. My mom had an operation. She had had a heart attack while she was in one of the facilities. Well, very often whenever they would call me and say, your mom is, you know, fell, or your mom, you know, she had a stroke, or something's happened and we have to take her to the hospital. So they say the emergency vehicle is here right now. Can you meet us at the hospital? Well, because of my lifestyle, where I've set it up, I was there often long before the EMS truck even arrived, you know. But at the time, you know, I would sit with the doctor and have a conversation. Then I would immediately talk to my sister and say, hey, you know, this is what's going on. We need to make some decisions. And, you know, I think that you should involve family. And I know that everybody can't participate at the same level. because everybody's not available. You know, there can be financial concerns. There could be time constraints. So everybody's not going to give, you know, the same amount. And I wouldn't stress you over that, you know, because if you have a situation in your life where you can give more and it doesn't affect your life, you know, in an adverse way, that's a good deal. That's
right.
A great deal, you know. And also remember, the key to, you know, to any kind of care is knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So the more time you can spend, the more you'll learn, and the more you know when you're faced with an emergency, and you're going to be faced with one, you can make a decision that's sensible and not just emotional, you know, that's realistic. Because placing your loved one in a care facility is a decision,
will
be the best decision, although it might not jive with your emotions. Oh, I'm abandoning mom. No, you're not. You know, what you're doing is providing her with 24-hour care, which is something you can't do, even if you want to, even if you intend to. You can't do it. You can't be up 24 hours a day, and you can't be with somebody 24 hours a day, and you certainly can't administer meds and render, you know, diagnoses. So no matter how much you love them, you know, you know, sometimes you have to step away and let the professional do the job. So I would tell people that, you know, you need to be able to make realistic decisions, not just emotional decisions, and you know, because I think that'll be better for your loved one overall.
Right.
You know, and involve the family, you know, as best they can be involved. And everybody doesn't need to be involved. You know, sometimes you have people who, you know, they're just so emotional about stuff, you know, that when a situation comes up, they're really not good at making those decisions. They may be better at making some financial decisions or making decisions about things that aren't as emotion-based, you know. So my mom had a heart attack, and so I go to the hospital, and I'm talking to the physician, and he says, well, we're going to have to put a pacemaker in, right? You have to do some surgery. And so he gives me this choice. And I know it's weird, but, you know, I guess this is how they're trained. He gives me the choice. He says, well, you know, your mom's heart had some damage, and I tell you, you know, it doesn't look good. Now, there are two things we could do. We can put in a pacemaker, do surgery, but we don't know if she'll survive the surgery because there is some damage to her heart. Or we can, you know, stop the feeding tube and, you know, just let her pass away, you know, calmly. And I'm like, well, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, I've been going through this for a number of years at that time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe about 6 years or so. And, you know, mom's been to the hospital before, and she's had a stroke, or she's had this, or she's had that, and, you know, she's pulled through. So,
right.
I mean, in a way, it's, you know, you know, I guess you can listen to that, and you go, well, you know, maybe passing away calmly and, you know, and serenely might be a good thing, you know, because the surgery may kill her. Okay, that's true. But, I mean, to me it was an obvious decision, but for somebody in that situation who's not used to it, it may not be so obvious. It was like, well, okay, surgery could kill her, okay. And if I pull the feeding tube, that'll certainly kill her, right?
So I was like,
do the surgery. You know, I mean, I can accept the fact that something happened and, you know, she didn't make it. But if you're telling me, oh, and by the way, the other thing he added was, well, I believe, you know, my diagnosis or prognosis is that, you know, she's got months, not years. Months, not years.
Mm-hmm.
I remember those words. Okay, so let's say she gets months. That's better than pulling the feeding tube. You know, I mean, I'm making a rational decision. And so I opted for surgery, and it went well. And mom, you know, she recovered as best she could. And, you know, and by the way, it was years, not months, before she
ultimately
passed away. So, you know, you have to be the advocate. You got to do the work. You know, I mean, it's on you now. You know, you got a parent that is now your child.
Yes.
And you got to make decisions just like you would make them for your children.
Uh-huh.
You know, so So it behooves you really to take the time to learn, to don't wait until the emergency is heaped upon you, you know, before you make a decision to learn something about elder care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's just so many things that I had to learn. I mean, I'm not even, you know, just, oh my goodness, you know, just some of the rules, regulations, some of the unexpected pressures that are going to be placed when you when your parents get old. But
right.
Yeah, you know, but I say, you know, if you make the decision to learn ahead of time, then the decisions aren't emotional.
Right. And that'll lead into the next question. But what I'm going to do, we've had a caller on from the 312 area code, beginning number is 339. I'm just going to check and see if they have a question or if they're interested in making a comment in that they've been on for a while. Listener from the 312 area code, are you on? All right. I just wanted to check and see if you had a question you wanted to ask. Maybe not. All right. Terry, as we move towards concluding, had you prepared any in advance regarding the management of the care for your mother?
No. and a short answer is no, and I don't think you really think about that. You know, we're all, you know, we're lucky. We're all going to get old at one point or another, and you know, either we're going to have to care for ourselves, someone's going to care for us, but at some point, there's some major decisions that are going to have to be made. I was kind of forced into it, and I was learning on the go. You know, but I really wasn't prepared. I mean, you know, from the first day that she went into a facility, well, actually prior to that, because think about it. If you have a parent who owns property, or if you have a parent that has assets, you know, a bank account or stocks or anything like that, well, if they go into a nursing care facility, you know, they're going to have to exhaust all of their funds before they can qualify for things like Medicaid or Medicare.
That's correct.
You know, I mean, you know, you don't realize that while they're living. Oh, and by the way, unlike 30 years ago where, you know, once you realized your mom was sick, you could quickly, you know, sign over her house to you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the government, you know, got wise to that technique. And now you need 5 years of that property being out of the hands of your parent or in someone else's hands for it not to qualify as something that has to be exhausted before they offer you those services. So, you know, so who's prepared for that?
That's
you know,
right.
Well,
that's right.
You know, if you don't know it, how can you prepare for it? And that's just the stuff, that's just a small percentage of the kinds of things you need to know prior to your parents getting sick or your loved one getting sick. Once they get sick, that's a whole other game.
Uh-huh.
You know, what about powers of attorney and health care power of attorney and living wills and do not resuscitate directives and, you know, just all these things that you're going to come in contact with or could come in contact with that you have no prior knowledge of. You have no way of knowing the best choice. You know, and generally there aren't many, I don't know of anybody out there who's teaching this. Well,
right.
I do now, of course. Who's doing it?
And,
you know,
that's
but,
right. And I'm glad you brought that up because for our listening audience, they can, of course, go to the site of Think Big Radio and see where they can connect with me. But the webpage, qualityoflifeeldercare.com, can give you a lot of resources of what I've put together over my 30 years in this profession. But I guess now as we conclude, I also want to give you an opportunity, Terry, because as an entrepreneur and you've shared some valuable information to help people going through the challenges of taking care of someone, but you've got an interesting business, and I'd like you to share with the listening audience how they can connect with you
in what you have to offer.
Oh, okay. Well, I appreciate that. Well, I have had a small advertising and marketing business for over 25 years. And, you know, I was fortunate when I lived in New York, you know, to have worked for some of the major ad agencies and publishing firms coming out of school, you know, back in the 70s. And, you know, I learned quite a bit. I learned a lot about, you know, things like product introduction and repositioning of products and things like that. And what I wanted to do, I've always had a heart for small business. So I've taken a lot of what I've learned in the big agencies, and I created a smaller agency that really focuses on small business and small business development. Because very often,
and we've got about 2 minutes, Terry.
Okay. And very often small businesses just don't have the resources that the larger companies do to plan and set things up. So one of my companies, the companies that I'm working with right now, is a company called StreamSmart. And for those people who right now who are tired of paying cable bills and tired of paying satellite payments, this particular item, it's a receiver that allows you to access any kind of programming you can imagine. It's a receiver that has 15,000 apps, and it allows you to access 3,900 channels. And what it does, the reason I'm excited about it, is because it saves people money. You know, you have an opportunity to just hook this box up to your television set, and you can access any kind of programming that you can imagine. And it's basically a one fee. There are no more payments, and you never have to worry about cable fees and things like that again. You can reach me. You can reach our company. It's called StreamSmartAmerica.com. That's StreamSmartAmerica.com. And be happy to talk to you about, you know, the product. And I appreciate it, Felton. I appreciate the time. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you, Terry, because, as I said, over 8,000 people a day are turning 65. Children are experiencing having to take care of loved ones, and sometimes siblings that may be disabled. So with my 12-part series, my goal is to educate and create a less stressful situation if people can plan and know better what to do. Again, thank you, Terry, for joining us. Also, for the listening audience, you can go to qualityoflifeeldercare.com, find out a lot more information of how to reach me and a DVD and other products that can help you along this journey. Thank you, Terry, and thank you for those who joined us tonight.
Thank you.